Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've been thinking a lot about the shepherds lately, and not just because I am preaching on them this Sunday, although, or this Christmas day, although that is most of the reason, to be honest. I think of the shepherds because they're in most of our nativity sets, if you have one in your house. They're in the background somewhere. Maybe they're not even there at all. The creche we have in front of our house only has Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the star. No shepherds, no animals. But they're often there because, you know, the animals and baby Jesus kind of steal the show. The little sheep and the goats are pretty cute. We like that donkey that supposedly carried Mary all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. In my house this year, a baby donkey is the most popular part of the manger. He travels all around the house and he plays in the Christmas tree and he does all sorts of stuff. Even the cows are lovely in their own kind of gentle, massive way. But the shepherd ones are the quiet ones in the story of Jesus' birth. They're there in the background. They don't say much. Actually, they don't say anything at all in Luke's version of the story. But they're mostly outside there. They're worshiping and working under the stars. They're on the outskirts of town, and they hear the good news, and they worship the child, and then they go and tell others. Now, the shepherds are an essential part of the story, because until the shepherds, no one else knows that the Messiah has been born. Until the shepherds hear the good news, no one knows that the Messiah has been born. That's one of the reasons that Luke includes them in his version of the story. And it's not the only reason, but it is probably the main one. And it is a little bit of a strange choice, too, because shepherds were not the likeliest candidates for the job. Remember, they're outside of town. They're sleeping under the stars. They're not the most popular people. Now, they're not the poorest, but they certainly are not the richest either. They're not exactly outcasts like lepers were, but they aren't really on the inside either. They are kind of weird. I mean, King David was a shepherd, they say, and we know that from scriptures, but even that doesn't make shepherds popular. It's sort of like, well, yes, King David was a shepherd. It just points out how odd the shepherds are. And to these unlikely witnesses, to the shepherds, God has a message. He has this message that the angel of the Lord brings to them, and God's glory shines all around, and they are terrified, which is the right response when an angel comes before you. They are terrified, and then the angel tells them what angels always say, "Do not be afraid." Now, this angel is the third angel messenger in the book of Luke. I remember we heard about Zechariah having an angel before him in the temple, prophesying about John's birth, who John would be, how he would live. And then there was a second angel who came to Mary, this young woman with this terrifying, surprising, astounding news that she would give birth to the Messiah. And third, this angel comes to the shepherds. Now, in the book of Matthew, there is another angel appearance. The angel comes to Joseph as well to tell them the news that his soon-to-be wife Mary will give birth to the Messiah. And an early church theologian by the name of Ambrose said that the Christmas story is all about this repetition. The Christmas story repeats things again and again. And not just because we hear them again and again, but because God takes care in the story to confirm the message. To confirm the message of Jesus' birth, not once, not twice, but three times. And this increases their faith, Mary's faith, and Joseph's faith, and the shepherd's faith. And it increases our faith in this message of the angel. Ambrose says that every word in the Christmas story stands by two or three witnesses. And we can be sure that they are true. Now, I've said before that if there's anyone that we can identify with in the Christmas story, it might be the shepherds. Now, shepherds are ordinary folk, and you may not know many shepherds. Do you know any shepherds? Raise your hand if you do, or shout it out on the Facebook thing. Most of us don't know any shepherds. I think of Providence Farm. They have a few sheep, but they're not exactly shepherds there. They're mostly vegetable growers. Most of us don't know a shepherd. And one commentator said that probably the closest thing to a shepherd in our modern day time would be a long-haul trucker. A long-haul trucker is a bit like a shepherd. They're often away from family. They work outside for long periods of time. They're kind of invisible to most people, unless you know one or unless you are one, like some of you. Most people know that truckers work hard. They rarely take a day off. They do this essential work, and they only occasionally get credit for it. That's what truckers do, and that's what shepherds are like too. That's who God chooses, angel messengers, to send and give the good news to these shepherds. Now, the good news in the story, the gospel, the evangelio, is that the shepherds hear is this: today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now let's break that down. This is good news today. The gospel is always present tense good news. Good news for right now. The story of Jesus' birth isn't some ancient historical thing that we remember. It's something that we live and proclaim today, now, again. This is good news for all people, says the angel. It's not just good news for the shepherds. It's not just good news for Mary and Joseph. It's good news meant for an audience big enough to include all of humankind. And this good news has a specific place, too, in the town of David, meaning Bethlehem. And it's good news, not just good news for everywhere, but it's good news specifically nearby to these shepherds, here, close to you. And it is good news about salvation. Good news that a Savior has been born to you. Good news that this newborn will save the people of Israel, for he is the Messiah. And this is good news about the Lord. This baby Messiah is not only the long-expected anointed one, he is the Lord. He is God in the flesh. He is the one whose name is holy, the God of Israel. And that is a radical claim that Luke is making here in this story. Jesus is not only the anointed one, he is the Son of God. And that is the good news that the angel shares. It's good news today. Good news for all. Good news right here. Good news of salvation by the Lord. The angel gives them a sign, and it's not much of a sign. How will you know that this baby has been born? Well, the angel says, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, the first part makes sense. Most parents these days and back then wrap a newborn baby swaddled tightly in cloths to keep them from flailing about and startling themselves. It helps them sleep better. But the manger part, that's the unusual part. You see, newborn babies don't usually sleep in mangers. The Messiah does not belong in a manger. The Lord of all creation does not belong in a manger. And the shepherds get another confirmation. See, because the angel is joined by this whole heavenly host of angels filling the whole sky in an army of angels. And they sing this song of praise to God, the third and shortest song in the whole book of Luke. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. Now, the song is all about contrast. It's about heaven and earth. It's about God's glory and those on earth whom God blesses. And in Greek, that phrase, to those on whom his favor rests, is a little bit ambiguous. It's hard to tell whether it means, it could mean peace to people, comma, on whom God's favor rests, or it could mean peace to the people on whom God's favor rests. You see, one, the first way sounds a bit more expansive, and the second a little bit narrower. And one commentator argues that early Christians, and we too, should hear this in both ways at the same time. That God's blessing of sending the Messiah is good news for people, period. For humanity, for all people. But it's also a blessing specific to those who receive God's favor. And it's challenging just to hear it both ways. Maybe you tend towards one side or the other, and you should hear it in the other way too, just to move somewhere into the middle and to hold both. Because if you think that God is happy with all of humanity, then you've maybe forgotten about God's justice. And if you think that God only likes some people, and that includes you, then you've forgotten about God's mercy. We need to hold on to both. We need to include both. And this angel's song gives glory to God and peace to those on whom God's favor rests. And then the angels leave, and the shepherds go, and they go see the baby in the manger. And they go tell others what they've seen. They serve as these witnesses of the birth of the Messiah. And the whole town is buzzing with amazement at what they hear from the shepherds. And the shepherds leave town again. They go out and they give glory and praise to God for what they've heard and seen. Now Mary, on the other hand, Luke tells us, Mary ponders things. Mary is thinking inside of herself. Mary is, for Luke, this prime example of what a follower of Jesus looks like, of how we should respond to Jesus' birth. And Mary treasures these things in her heart. She remembers the events, the people, the words. She ponders them. She considers them, just like she did that first angel's greeting to her 9 months before. Because if Mary is worth observing, then so are the shepherds. They're at work out there in the fields. They're interrupted by the angels' words of praise and worship. And they leave their work to go serve as witnesses. They pick up this new job as evangelists of the good news. And then they return to their day jobs with worship and praise. The shepherds are this essential part of the Christmas story because they respond appropriately to the angels. They hear the good news. They put it into practice and they share it with others. Now at Christmas, God calls us to worship and to tell, and then to tell and worship. We rejoice in the angel's song, and then we give witness to the way that God is working in the world. We tell others the good news, and then we continue in worship. And midway through the story, we see that the angels leave, that the angels are no longer necessary at this point in the story. They've come three times. They've given the message of the good news. And now it's the job of the shepherds to spread the good news. Now the shepherds are the one who give glory to God in the highest, and Mary who ponders and considers its meaning. But the shepherds are the ones who are out there telling everyone. And when they hear the good news, people are amazed at the birth of Jesus. There's an old Dutch song that is often sung on Christmas Day. Perhaps you've heard it before. Eris Saigot. It's glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. It's this beautiful old hymn, and we may hear it later on the organ, but as part of my sermon, I'd like to play you a video of that song, and hopefully we'll be able to have it on screen for everyone to see. If not, we'll share the link later for the live stream people. This song speaks of the God's glory in the highest. It's a song of praise. It's a song of the shepherds that they learned from the angels, and then when they returned to their work,
It's probably the song that they were singing as they gave praise and glory to God. Brandon, could you try to play that video for us now? Glory to God in the highest, sang the angels. See, at Christmas, God commissions these evangelists and theologians, these preachers and teachers, these people who ponder and people who practice the good news. And it's all for the glory of God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is our Christmas prayer. This is our Christmas worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God, we join with the angels and the shepherds and Mary and everyone in the Christmas story to give you thanks and praise. For you are the great God of all, the highest in the heavens, and your glory fills the earth. And your glory fills this particular place and this particular person, Jesus Christ, born as a baby on the Christmas day. We praise you and thank you for his birth. We thank you for how his birth transforms us, for how his birth has changed the world, for how his birth is changing the world. And we remember the Christmas story, bringing it to life and putting it into practice, pondering and praising and going out to tell the good news. So may we do that in the power of the Spirit. May we be your evangelists like the shepherds were. May we be your ponderers like Mary was. May we give you glory and praise in our work and in our all of our lives that they may all be a gift of worship in your name. We give you thanks and praise, and we give you glory to God in the highest heaven. In Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.